every morning. Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb. Cappuccino with the CEO.
At 7:42, and our cappuccino with the CEO this morning is with Norbert Sasser, who's the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director at Growth Point Properties. Norbert, thank you so much for your time this morning. We also found out that your other name is Leon. So how many people refer to you as Leon, and do others prefer Norbert? How does it work?
I think I've never ever been called Leon by anybody, to be honest with you, except when I order takeaways on the over the telephone, I'd use Leon, because spelling Norbert every time is a bit tricky. But I think it's Leon Norbert, and I've got a German father, and I think they want to do sort of stress the German or emphasize the German connection and heritage, so they always call me by my second name first.
So it's his takeaway name. That's actually what we got from that. This is great.
Awesome. So speaking of heritage and your father, let's talk about your background and your childhood. What was that like?
I grew up in the southern suburbs of Johannesburg in Robertsham. I went to an Afrikaans primary school and Afrikaans high school in Crown Gardens. So a pretty tough, rough and tough there in the southern suburbs.
Wait, no, but you went to Theo Wassenaar.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is actually going to be a really great interview. I can already tell.
Why? Did you have connections to?
I do. I went to Winchester Ridge Primary and I went to Sir John Adamson High. So, this is all from the south. So this is a connection already before we even get to the latter end of this interview.
All right.
That's amazing, yeah. So those were the English schools in the immediate adjacency in the suburbs, and I think a very little known fact is that my immediate neighbor was a guy by the name of Brett Dawson, and Brett went to Winchester Ridge and Brett went to Sir John Adamson, and he went on to become the CEO of Dimension Data.
Amazing. Oh my God, that's fabulous.
I'm telling you now, these interviews are absolutely incredible, right? It's a small, small world, and you'd be surprised at just what you can learn. And that's actually really incredible. Good to know.
All right, so that was your childhood background. Did at any point you ever imagine that property would be something you'd be going to, or when you looked at career options at that time, what were your options and what did you like doing?
Look, property only came in much later. I think I was fortunate in I knew at a pretty young age that I wanted to be a chartered accountant. Mm-hmm. And I played a little bit of tennis as a youngster and got a little bit of coaching. I used to run off to school, literally from home, run to school, and 6 o'clock in the morning gets a bit of tennis coaching. And my coach was a chartered accountant, and got to know him a little bit and looked like he enjoyed a pretty decent lifestyle. So I thought, okay, that probably is something I would want to pursue. Mm-hmm. And so I was, single-mindedly, knew from an early age, even at school already, that's where I wanted to go. But my passion then was the markets, the JSE listings, corporate action, M&A, capital raising, those kinds of things. And I ended up in the investment banking world, initially, sort of advisory with the likes of Ernst & Young. I qualified with them as a CA. I then went to the UK for a short stint, 2 to 3 years. And when I came back in 96, I joined Investec Corporate Finance. And it's there where I got exposure to the true world of investment banking. And in 2001, this opportunity arose to advise effectively Growth Point on a major transaction. And that's what exposed me to property. And from there on, as they say in the classics, I just got completely fascinated by the industry. As in corporate finance, I was always looking to specialize in something, but the market's not big enough. So one day you were merging a hospital group, the next day you were listing an IT company. Property was never really on the radar, and but once you get to know property and the property industry, it's so varied, and it just offers so much, and it's been a phenomenal opportunity for me.
Would you say, when you look back at your career and your achievements and the path and that it took, that a lot of it probably was a good, happy accident where you happened to be at the right place at the right time with certain decisions you've made in terms of whether you're going to go and take an Investec offer over perhaps something else that may have been at the table on on the table at the time. And I suppose the second part to that question, when you look at what you do now, would you then say that all the decisions that you've made in your past have prepared you for this moment to be the CEO of GrowthPoint?
So that's a fascinating question, because I often think about that. You know, what would have happened, or where would I have been had I not, let's say, chosen to go to InvestEC? Mm. At the time I came back from the UK, I interviewed with three investment banks. At the time there was a UAL Merchant Bank, and there was Standard Corporate and Merchant Bank, and there was InvestEC. And I ended up choosing to go to InvestEC, not the others. Mm. At InvestEC, I guess I got ultimately the opportunity, you know, to pursue this transaction with GrowthPoint. And the first deal that GrowthPoint did in 2001, which was sort of the rebirth, if you want, of GrowthPoint, I was advising. I was a corporate finance advisor. I led the transaction. I did the negotiations with the banks. I interacted with shareholders, but I was advising the transaction and the board of the company at the time. And it was only after the transaction that I was approached by the two gentlemen who headed up InvestEC Property Group at the time, and they said, would you want to, Sam Hackner and Sam Leon, and they said, would you want to change your career and come into corporate finance, come into Property Group from corporate finance? And the reality was that Property Group at InvestEC hadn't made profits for a year. Property as an asset class was a bit of a swear word in those days. I mean, especially listed property. And it took a bit of convincing. It took me a good month or more to finally make the decision to move across. And once again, if I hadn't made that decision, you know, where would I have been today? So there are many of those crossroads that you reach, I guess, throughout a career, and whichever direction you take takes you down a path. I don't think there's much that can prepare you at the end of the day for, you know, you asked, you know, has anything prepared you, or what prepared you for this position being CEO? I think you just grow into it over time. It's something that I don't think you can learn in a textbook. It's not something that you can learn at a business school, even, for that matter.
Yeah.
It just is something that you have to grow into over time.
All right. How has GrowthPoint changed and evolved since you took over the helm?
So that the first transaction, I think there are probably four transactions that I would highlight over the course of GrowthPoint's growth. The first one was the transformational deal back in 2001, where, you know, GrowthPoint was sort of teetering on the brink of insolvency at that particular time. I've still got the little proposal I put to the board in 2001 as an investment banker, where three out of four options, I think, were really liquidation. You know, we weren't really going to, you know, the property assets, you know, GrowthPoint had nine property assets. The value was about 120 million. Happened to be listed back then, but the market cap was about 30 million. And I sort of led the transaction where we reverse listed basically the mine pension fund's entire direct property portfolio. In fact, everything other than Melrose Arch. They owned the Melrose Arch land at the time, but we put everything else into GrowthPoint. And overnight, that transformed GrowthPoint to a company with a market cap of over a billion from sort of 30 million. Later on in 2007, again, I led sort of the transaction whereby we separated from InvestEC. We were always ultimately part of the InvestEC group, in as much as InvestEC owned a management company. And I was employed by InvestEC, paid by InvestEC, but I was running GrowthPoint. So, you know, in 2007, we separated and, you know, we became 100% focused on running GrowthPoint and leading GrowthPoint. 2009 is another highlight, the acquisition into Australia, you know, right in the midst of the financial crisis. I think we were a bit bold. Sometimes I wish we were even more bold, but we invested about $200 million into an Australian business, and today it's got a market cap of about $2.5 billion. It's been a beautiful growth story in Australia. And then, again, probably one of the major highlights was in 11, where we bought the V&A Waterfront down in Cape Town. Still probably our iconic and prized asset within the business. That was in partnership with a PIC on behalf of the Government Employees Pension Fund, and that's been a good partnership since we acquired the asset, and we continue to invest heavily there and grow the business. So, you know, from those beginnings of 9 properties with a value of 120 million, today we have in South Africa alone 450-odd properties. Mm. I think the value is about 78 billion. Waterfront's about 9 billion on its own. We then have the Australian. We own 65% of that Australian business, which has got 3.45 billion Aussie dollars of assets. And then more recently, we've invested in Eastern Europe. So market cap today is about 70-odd billion. It's been a pretty pretty steep growth trajectory over the years.
All right. So the one question that you know, I ask, and it sort of seals whether there's going to be a bromance between yourself and Arabile, and I'm going to get to it.
I think it's already done.
Yeah, because you two sort of have a similar.
I mean, we went, the South is where it's at, man.
All right. So you were talking about, you know, growth points, achievements, your personal life, and everything. What are you most proud of?
I think first and foremost, the family. I think I've got a wonderful family with wife and 2 children. My daughter's actually just recently gone off to boarding school in Germany, of all places, I guess, with a German heritage. You know, there was maybe it was written. My son's just about to go into high school next year. And I guess trying to find the balance. I think this is the real secret. And I don't think... it's probably the toughest thing of anything. There's no board decision, there's no investment, there's no transaction tougher. Nothing is tougher than trying to balance and find the right balance between family and work. Mm. You never get it right, to be honest with you. But I think the individual who gets that right at the end of the day is probably the most successful individual of all.
All right. Do you like sports?
Love sport.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
What kind of sports do you like?
So anything with a racket. So give me a racket, squash racket, tennis racket, table tennis. Uh-huh.
So who's your favorite tennis player then? There's only 2 options.
I'd say Roger Federer.
Okay, there we go. Ding, ding, ding.
And if you had to watch football, which team would you like?
Domestic or international?
Let's say international.
Yeah.
International, I'd probably go for...
oh boy, he's trying to guess mine now.
Bayern Munich.
Okay, that's actually not bad. Good choice, good choice. Look, I'm not too big on the German football, but Bayern Munich would certainly be a good team. I was hoping you'd go for Man United, but nonetheless, look, the South heritage certainly still helps, and it's been great fun having you here. And I think the stories... you know, tell you a lot about the growth point, as a company, and just where it comes from. Absolutely great chatting to you, Norbert Sass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Arbile. Nice to see you.